The latest one is by Danny Gokey. Haven't seen it yet. And boy, what the appropriate time when you're kind of feeling lost or what in the world you're supposed to be doing. How are you supposed to accomplish anything? Life is tough enough without the COVID, amen? I mean, we moved to a new town and we moved to Odessa a couple months back in October. And you know, just churches are not the same because of COVID. And I'm sure you're feeling it among yourselves, right? And then when you throw that up on with all the other issues of life, you start thinking, where you at, God? What's our direction? Danny Gokey's song, I've been listening to it a lot lately because sometimes it's either scripture or a song that I, when I need to cry out to God, I find one thing I can hang on to give me courage and to give me wisdom. Real quickly, just to tell you a little bit about me, I can't go into long details, because if I was here, you'd be here 2 hours, and you don't want to be here 2 hours, okay? And I understand that. No one gave me a time limit, though, so you got to be understand, you're in trouble. I haven't preached in two months now, and so you're in trouble. I'll try to keep it down, okay? If you feel like I get too much, just wave your hand at me. My wife is not here to do it, so I'm used to it. I won't get offended, okay? My kids at school start closing their books when it's time for the bell. I'm used to that too. Don't get offended at anything. But I grew up on a country and a country church. Grew up in a farming community, and come back to my farming community. Was farming with my dad, coaching basketball in my hometown. I was set for life. I was in an active church that was growing. I was a deacon. A youth leader, head deacon, and I was set for life. I was right where I wanted, but God had different plans. God called me to preach at age 31. I've been pastoring since then, 10 years in Illinois, the rest of the time in Missouri. I pastored churches of 6 people. Well, actually, there was 8. 4 of them was my own. That was my first church. Pastored churches of over 150, a senior pastor. Youth pastor of a church that ran over 600, an associate pastor. But when I was a teenager, there would have been no way. I grew up with a speech problem. I couldn't pronounce 26 different sounds. And because of that, I would have a tendency to run my words together fast so I could get done and get away. Because if I didn't get away, people would make fun of me. The only ones who wouldn't would be my friends. The ones I grew up with in my little town, in my little school, in my church. But if we were with a bunch of other people, they made fun of me too. Because they joined the crowd. There would have been no way if you'd have told me when I was in high school, given a speech about how to milk a cow, my first public speech in a class, and my knees was knocking, that I would ever speak in front of 600 people and have the courage to ever share something to 600 people, I would have called you a flat-out liar. There would have been no way. But we understand we have a God who's bigger than us, amen? So many times we forget how great God is. We sing the song, but it's like He is for others, but not in we all have that tendency. I haven't met anybody. Most of the people that says that some way or another usually fib a little bit. Because we're human, amen? It's a normal response to how we feel. And we're going to see that in the scripture today as we read Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse, I think I'm going to change plans a little bit, so don't worry, I'm going to jump to verse 22. If we remember the Gospels, the four Gospels is not written as a history book. They're not in daily order or in the order that we can see. But this is the time you've all heard the sermon of Jesus walking on the water. How many times have you heard the sermon? Okay? If you've been in church a lot, you've probably heard it. There's nothing wrong with that. You got to understand this scenario that happened, two of the three Gospels that shared this story to us about Jesus, two of the three of them said this happened right after He fed the 5,000/15,000 plus. because there's 5,000 men. If every man was married and at least one kid, and at that time they had more than one kid, there was well over 15,000 people. Jesus fed with anybody? Anybody? You can talk. What did he feed over 15,000 people with? How many? Five loaves, right? And? Fishes, that's it. He fed that many people. What a miracle. What kind of person can do that? Only who? God. But yet we see this cycle with Jesus and his disciples. Wouldn't it have been nice if Jesus would always, and if I fall off of here, I'll get back up. Don't worry about it. I'll keep you entertained one way or the other. Wouldn't it be nice if Jesus would just let us walk with him and it would just be easy? Have you ever really paid attention to his disciples? He would take them to a momentous spiritual moment, and then he would be saying, "Oh, ye of little what?" Because he would lead them to a spiritual moment, and then they would go through a time that they didn't know how to do something, and they couldn't do it in their own power, and they had to learn that they had to trust in who? Him again. He was trying to get away from them thinking it was their life, their church. Please understand, I've been pastor 31 years. I've heard this, it's my church, so many times. It'll never happen in my church. I've heard it so many times from pastors, as a pastor, and from pastors. Folks, we need to understand Jesus was spending his disciples and says, your life is not yours. And you can't do it on your own. I don't care how much money you have, how powerful you are, you can't do it on your own. He went through this whole cycle with them. If you read the scripture, he was allowing them to do miracles, and then he was challenging them with feeding the 5,000. They couldn't do it. And is it okay to know you can't do something? Amen. It's about time we recognize we can't do something without God doing it in us. But we all have to go through these cycles. I wish the Christian walk would be just no ever any headaches. It would just be, oh, perfect. But I'm not that type of preacher, and I don't get paid in the TV to get paid to say that all the time. Okay? Because that's not real life. So as we read this, you understand Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, you can't do it without me. But sometimes we have to hit that wall to understand. I'm a little hard-nosed. Maybe that's why I got a broken nose a couple times here too. Not because I got fired, just because God let me walk right into the wall sometimes and said, now are you done trying? Let me do it for you. Well, let me do it in you. Won't you just stop? So as we get ready to read, let's go to verse 22. Thank you for that. Verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat. I want you to stop and think. Matthew wrote, he what? Made. Okay, we're Americans. Nobody can make us do anything. That's part of our problem in our country. Part of the problem with the church in America. He made. Now, other versions says he insisted. But let me ask you something. If God is the God of all things, he's your God, and you've surrendered to his lordship, when he asks you to do something, should you do it? So see, that settles the issue. Did he really make them? Did he insist? No, yes, he did. He did all of that above because they had surrendered their life to be obedient to God. Therefore, when he says, get into the boat, it was, I don't have an option. I'm going to get into the boat. Let's get that scenario set out. That is so important to, in my opinion. Because you know what? God has placed us a lot of places. God has placed me in Odessa. What for? I have no idea. But God knows. Amen. God has placed you in this church. I hope that if you're a member of this church, you are here because God called you. Not because you liked it or because of one person, but because God called you. But if God called you, you stay in the what? The boat. Everybody understand? Good or bad, you stay in the boat because that's where He placed you. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord, you don't have an option to be obedient to where He places you. Now, if He places you someplace else, guess what? That's a different story, amen? But you're to be obedient to be where He tells you to be. And in this story right now, He made them, He constrained them to enter into the boat. So that's our scenario. Let's continue looking at it. Let's read on. Immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other shore where He sent the crowds away. After He had sent the crowds away, He went up to the mountain to pray. And when it was evening, He was alone. But the boat was already a long distance from land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, I thank You. God, I ask you to give each one of these people the patience, Lord, not to look at me. Because, Lord, You know I'm not worthy. And Lord, I'm not the least perfect. But Lord, that You open up their hearts so that they hear from You today. But if they hear from me, Lord, it was a waste of time. God, You love this people. You love this church. You love each one of them. You called them to be Yours. And Lord, if there's one here as a church member who's not been called, Lord, I pray that You will convict them of them not knowing You. Because, Lord, we need to quit playing games. We need to be right with You. And God, I ask You again, just open up their hearts to hear from You. Not my words, Lord, but what You once said to them. As You speak to them, Lord. As You instruct me to share in Your blessed name. Amen. How many miracles have they already done? We don't know. We do get the invitation that they had already been out on the water once before and the major storm hit. But who was in the boat with them? Jesus was that time, right? This was a new what? A new experience. You can't rely on the past. But let me challenge you to face the future when you have a big storm in front of you. And let me just define storm. Storm is anything that causes you to doubt God, amen, to be afraid of the future, to quit trying, to give up, to cower, to stop you from being obedient to God. That is a storm of life. I don't care if it's sickness of you, sickness of your spouse, death of someone you love, a child. I don't have an answer why a child died. I don't have an answer for that. But I do know them storms are there in life. And this COVID has, if all you do is listen to the news, I'd be afraid of stepping out my door. If all I knew is trusted the news, to be honest on everything. I wouldn't even walk out my door. I don't know how I'd live, but. And yet we're bombarded with be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be smart and we shouldn't do some things. But folks, we need to understand that storm, Satan wants to divide us. Do you understand that? Satan wants to do two things with the Christian life, or actually three. He wants you to get so full of yourself that you ignore others. Your opinion causes you to ignore others and to keep from loving people. Satan's happy with that. He wants you to be afraid of the future and to worry about it and to fret and to try to do it yourself, because that's what we do, aren't we? Especially us guys. I don't know about some of you guys, but I'm really bad. If there's something, I try to fix it. Amen? All right. And we need to understand you can't fix something. No organization fixes too much when it's talking about something only God can do. When you're trying to figure God out, organization doesn't always happen. Let me tell you something. There was organization in that boat. Do you realize there had to be someone who took over the steering of the boat, or the tiller? Probably one of the fishermen, correct? Do you not understand there was others who's trying to encourage, and there was ones who's always griping? I hope if I step on your toes, I don't know you, so how it is. I'm just an old-time preacher, folks. I don't have a seminary degree. God just called me to preach, and I just preach. And then this boat, don't you know, they was telling the guy, you're not doing a good enough job back there steering this boat. Amen? And then there was fussing and fighting. And then there was others saying, did Jesus really say us to be in this boat? I didn't hear him. Well, maybe they didn't, because they was too busy what? I teach school, so therefore it happens, okay? I didn't hear that homework assignment. I wonder why. Okay? We're distracted. Don't you know there was some questioning, did I really hear Jesus right? It's all your fault. You're the one who said, I'm going to pick on you. You're nodding, so you're in bad shape. Okay. It's your fault because you said you heard Jesus and I followed you. I believed you. And we're in this boat because of you, and I'm going to die because of you. Can you imagine if they're like Baptists? Good gosh. Hey, I've been a pastor of a church that took an hour to pick out what color the hymnals. And I thought I was going to have to get the boxing gloves out. I even said once to him, do you think Jesus really cares what color hymnals we have? Do you really think that's going to keep someone from getting saved? And it didn't make any difference. They still fought. Okay, anyway. That's people, correct? When you're in a storm of something, it may be the own storm you created. I've had people hate my guts as a pastor, but found out her dad was a pastor and he abused her. So now I understand why she hated my guts. Do you understand? She had her own storm around her. And if anybody got near that storm, nobody wanted to be near her, amen? We are in storms. We'll go either in and out of a storm, or we're getting ready to maybe go in one. Because who's after us, folks? Yes, he wants to steal our joy. And for us Christians, we know down deep inside, God's called us for community within a church, amen? And when we can't do that, we're missing something. And part of our joy is gone. Well, part of our happiness. Joy comes from God. Happiness comes from a feeling that we get when we're together. And Satan is winning in all this in our lives if we don't watch it. But does the past help us facing the future? Yes. Henry Blackaby, like I said, I'm an itinerant, I can't even say it half the time. I'm just an old farm boy God called to preach, okay? No formal training, no nothing. But I took it experiencing God. I went through experiencing God my first couple years of pastoring. Changed my life. Because it taught me to look to God instead of myself. Henry Blackaby said, you need to look at the flags, the spiritual flags God has placed in your life behind you to be able to see better in the future. Lo and behold, I didn't realize my mom said as she was driving to the mill and I was laying in the seat beside her, she had to hit the tons truck brakes real fast, and I went rolling in the floor, and my mom said, she started crying, said, God, you take care of my son, he's yours. And you laugh, but my mom was an invalid when I became a pastor, and I left being next door. I was a caregiver for my mom, who was an invalid, when my dad was sick, which was back twice a year. And I moved away, 2 hours away, because God called me to preach. And my mom cried, and I had to bring out to her, Mom, you told me this story. Do you remember? I'm only doing what you laid the groundwork for. I'm trusting God. He'll take care of you and Dad. See, we need to look at the spiritual markers. I had a pastor in our first church when me and my wife got married in Southern Illinois. He was a great speaker, a great preacher and speaker. He took me and challenged me. with Master Life. Not to play church and just come to church and say, oh, the preacher did a good job. Oh, the preacher didn't do a good job. You was off key today. But to actually focus on God in all that you do. I've been a pastor of contemporary church, of a church that only did hymnals and nothing else. I've been a pastor of a church that you had to read out of the King James or you was going to hell. Where God put me. I've been a pastor of a church that did blended. I worship God in all of them because God is God, amen? He's the same yesterday and today and before. The methods we use only enhances who he is. It's him that we worship. But this pastor took me and he challenged me and God challenged me. And then we went to the church near my hometown and I didn't want to go to that church. And we went to visit just because we promised the pastor we would. And we didn't want to go there. And that's where God... And that pastor took me to places. And I heard great speakers of God. And I heard people talk about how God showed up miraculously in their life to help them and to aid them and to protect them. And I sat on my knees on this altar and said, God, I want that. I want that closer. I'm tired of just going to church and saying, oh, good job. It was a great emotional time or not. I want that experience with you. And you know what God said to me? David, are you willing to pay the price? Because them moments that you feel the presence of God and he picks you up is what Peter experienced. And that right there, folks, as I look back to things, God was preparing me. He put me a speech teacher in my life who taught me how to get my sounds pretty decent, except when I'm tired. Still not good at pronouncing words, okay? Especially the Latin ones. That's beyond me. I'm just an old country boy. But I look back to what God has prepared and done in my life, and he was leading me to the path to sharing his word. Now, why, I don't know, but that's God's decision, not mine. Amen? Do you have that time? I've actually challenged church members to do that. I went to one church, and I said, if I'm gone, the deacons and the wives got to go through experiencing God. I made them. I wouldn't come as a pastor. I regret that. All they did, they never did, nothing ever meant anything to them in it. All they wanted to do was argue every concept Henry Black would be brought out. And when I mentioned spiritual markers, and one of them said, yeah, my kid's being born. Is that really a spiritual marker? Now, if you prayed and God gave you that child and God spoke to you, that's a spiritual what? Marker, amen? Just because something good happened to you is not a spiritual marker. Spiritual marker is when you know and you hear God. As we look at this situation, here's the problem. If you don't look at your spiritual markers, you may not see the future. But what we do with the past is the worst thing. We want to relive in the past. Hey, do you remember when we was in that boat and we had that storm and Jesus spoke and it was done and we thought it was great. Jesus was there with us. He's not here now. I've heard churches, I've heard pastors for years. All churches can do is talk about what they used to do. Folks, let me ask you something. Is God still alive today? Now be careful, I'm going to walk you down a path. I'm warning you, is God still active today? In the Bible, has he quit yet? If he's not quit yet, then guess what? We have experiences with him in front of us come. Amen? We can't live in the past of what we used to do. Oh, I know. I'm sorry. You may not ask me back, but that's okay. I understand. But I'm telling you, you can't rely on the past to solve your future. What we did in the past is in the past. Did Jesus ever heal the same way twice, folks? I remember one sermon I heard. It said, well, Baptists, if they was around back in them days, If someone wanted to get their eyes healed, we would have had the one-touch Baptist, the two-touch Baptist, the pick-up-the-dirt, spit-in-the-mud, mud-on-their-face Baptist, and the Baptist who only speak to him. Jesus never healed anybody hardly the same. Why is that? Because we all would think there's a formula. One step, two step, I'm done. Hallelujah, you got to do it, Jesus. And people do that all the time. We cannot formulate a problem or do it on our own. We've got to trust in who? The active, alive God to lead us and to be there for us. So many times the fears cause us to cower and to cover up and say, I don't know what to do. Folks, it's okay to admit, I don't know what to do. Amen? But it's not, we shouldn't fear. Why? We just sung it, the last song. How great. We sing it. But now, life makes you, are you going to trust in it? Will that be your focal point? As they struggled in the water, they got and they did everything they could. I met people who organized everything. They did every manner. They read every Bible study, and they followed that Bible study to the T, and now what? I'm telling you, there's no Bible study that will lead you in this step, and this step. Would God? God is God, amen? He wants you to know Him. Him. Not rituals, not a religion. I've been Baptist all my life, but God brought me out of religion. It's a relationship with an all-knowing God who wants to walk with you. Not just with the pastor, but with you. That's a challenge. And as we see they're in this boat, we see that they forgot. Does Jesus know where you're at? Stop and think, folks. Seriously, does Jesus know you? I hope I'm okay on time. I'm long-winded, but I want to get through this. One of the worst things about just popping in and preaching, you don't want to leave anything hidden. Does Jesus know you? If you are a child of God and God spoke to you in that still small voice or in that conviction and you surrendered your life to Him, does He know you? Yes. Does He know exactly in what shape you're in today spiritually? Does He know the problems you're facing? So many times Satan wants us to forget. While Jesus was on that mountain, He saw them. Do you think He knew the storm was coming up when He put them in the boat? Folks, I serve an almighty God. He knows all things, amen? He knew it when He put them in there. But He wanted them to have a chance to grow in their faith and walk with Him. Not to just to sit and continue life as it is. Why do we have storms of life? Number one, real quickly, I can't give you all the scripture for this. Sin, your choices. Why do we have storms of life? Because of sin. Number two, why do we have storms of life? Decisions of others. There's scripture all the way through this. Other people's decisions causes us to be in a storm. Number three, it's a normal path of life that God wants us to walk. So as Jesus starts walking on the water to them, what's the disciples' first impulse when they see Him coming? Remember, this is something brand. Have they ever seen Jesus walk on the water before? Oh, He's done mighty miracles. And when He started coming on water, they got afraid. You know what? I've been a pastor of too many churches. They're afraid of God. Too many Christians are afraid of God. Why? Because He won't let you do what you continue doing. Because He wants to be God and not you. Ooh, I'm sorry. He wants to make decisions for you and not you make decisions for you. See, that's that part about being a Christian. That somehow we forgot that we're supposed to bow down to the authority of God. And you know what? I'm just telling you, I really believe after I read Blackaby, if church members are sensitive and bowing down daily to God, and the pastor is bowing down to daily, things work well in a church. I've seen it in glimpses. I've also know some pastors who've enjoyed that scenario, who's been there and their church has just ministered to people. Our goal is to understand not to be afraid of God. Will He show up in maybe a new way? Yes. You know, the old story, nobody wants to be changed except a baby with a poopy diaper. I mean, that's true for all of us. I have to admit it's true for me. Please understand, I'm not above you. Everything I'm preaching, God has reflected in my life over and over. So many times we can be afraid of God, and God doesn't want us to be afraid. But it's a normal response, amen? Because we're all human. Will we all sin? Are we all self-centered? If everybody's honest, you are. To some degree, you're self-centered. And if you think you're above that, that proves my point. I'm serious. If you think you're right and everybody else is, you're self-centered. Jesus knew their fear. He always does, doesn't He? He knows your fear. And yet He spoke. Now, I want you to understand, I don't know how many was in the boat. We assume 11, amen? But does it say how many was in the boat? Nope. But as we look in the boat, as we read on in Scripture, as you read on in the next Scripture, they all see and hear Jesus speak to them. Now, I want a question. When's the last time you've heard Jesus speak? I don't mean to be mean. This is what Jesus did. He challenged folks. He challenged His disciples to learn to walk with Him. How long has it been since you've heard Jesus? If it's only been when you got saved, folks, you've missed out on a bunch of what God wanted to give you. You remember Jesus said, I've come to give you what? Life and how? Do you think that means money? No, Jesus died a pauper. It means Him in His fullness. And you won't experience Him in the fullness until you hear Him and you respond to Him. And all of them who heard Him in the boat, only Peter wanted to be with Jesus. Jesus spoke and Peter was so drawn from the inside. He just wanted to be with Jesus. He didn't care about the storm anymore, amen? He didn't even think about the storm. He said, Jesus, now listen to this. Let me come out to where you are. Did he use his common sense, folks? Let's be honest. Did he use his common sense? I've heard it so many times. God gave me common sense. Where in the Bible did anybody use common sense and saw miracles? I can't find it. All the miracles of Jesus caused with charge when you let go of your control of common sense, which, by the way, common sense most of the time is taught by the world. Amen? And you let go and you reach out for God and God does something. Look at, check it in the Old Testament, New Testament. Most of miracles was not on common sense. Do you think it's common sense to throw a piece of stick in the water and a hammerhead float? Do you think it's common sense that said the little bit of oil in the jar would fill up numerous jars? Is it common sense that said I can walk on water? Not a bit. He didn't think about that. All he wanted was Jesus. Can I have to tell you something, just to be very honest? Your number one concern in this church is not to find a pastor. Please understand. Your number one concern is your walk with God. When Jesus, when you go through your process, and yes, you've got to be organized and you've got to go through your process. When you go through your process, Jesus will show up with the right man when you're ready. But your job is to walk with your relationship. Not anybody else. You can't worry about anybody else. Can you hear these other folks in the boat? I can hear them. Peter, don't step out there, you idiot. I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't say that, church. I'm a country boy. So it's just a... Peter, you're an idiot. Don't step out in that water. You're going to drown. You fool. Peter didn't care. He was going to who? That's all that mattered. To be with Jesus. That's all that mattered. He didn't care if Jesus calmed the storm first. See, too many don't want to get out until Jesus calms the what? And get in the boat. Then we'll praise God. No, Jesus says, I want you to praise me in the midst of the storm. Because when you see me and you feel me, that's all you need. That's all you need in the midst of the storm is Jesus. And so many times Satan wants to steal that from us. Because he can. Because he knows our weaknesses, doesn't he? He really knows our weakness. So as I come to the end, and I'm sorry, I don't know how long it's been, but thank you for hanging in there with me. My question for you is, what did Jesus say to you in the midst of this? I said a lot of stuff. Hopefully none of you got mad at me, but if you did, it's okay. That's between you and God, not me. I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know anything going on. It's a luxury. I could just be open to God. But folks, I want to tell you something. God wants you. Oh, not just to be a Christian. Yes. But he's come to give you life and to give it how? In the midst of a pandemic? Yes, you can. Because who's still active? John 5, chapter 19. Jesus says, God is working around. Hey, folks, if you'd have been back in the Jewish time, do you think the Roman Empire was a picnic to work with? You'd work at a cross-eyed Roman wrong, you'd be dead. There's tax collectors charging you 20, 30, 40% tax. Sometimes they would come in and just take stuff out of your home. You couldn't do anything. You had crooked Jewish leaders. Do you think it was a treat? Do you think it was easy? Did Jesus ever worry about such stuff? No. And he didn't want his disciples to worry. He wanted them to know him and to experience him. And Jesus said something that shocked me. I want to read this to you. When I heard this as a young pastor, it rattled my bones. It shook me out of my shoes. Scared the death out of me. Look at verse 19 of John chapter 5. If you don't have it, write it down. Look at it later. Now go down to, here we go. Verse 19. Therefore Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son, that's himself, Jesus, fully God, remember this, but also fully human, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father Billy Graham said a long time ago when I first started pastoring 30-something years ago, he said there's probably 70% of the churches, church members are lost. And when you carry that stuff over, there's churches that's going to be having church and Jesus is nowhere in the middle of them. Because it's a religion, it's practice. It's not worship, it's not focusing on Jesus. It's about me. Jesus said, I can do nothing without seeing God active. Folks, you won't see God active until you look. Do you think those in the boat cried out for Jesus to help them? See, we live in America. We live in a McDonald's world. One or two prayers, God, you should be acting right now if you really love me. You ever been there? That one hits home for me, nothing personal. You ever been there? We think after one or two prayers, God should answer. Don't you think that? We don't know how long they've been in that boat. One said maybe 3 to 4 hours. Hey, 3 to 4 hours seemed like forever, amen, when you're going through hard times. We don't give up. We keep looking for who? Jesus. And when he shows up, let's know him and not be scared to death of him. Because he's done something different in our life. Or you something. So as we get ready at this time when the pianos and music comes forward, Folks, I told God a long time ago, God called me to preach. I'm going to give an invitation. I gave an invitation to church. It didn't even have it, but I gave them anyhow. Because if I don't give you time to act, worship is you responding to God, not to my sermon. If you respond to my sermon, you're in bad shape, folks. But if God spoke to you and he wants you to do something, you don't have an option. You should be what? Running to be with him. You want to experience God? Be obedient to God. Even in the midst of the storm, look for him. Cry out for him. Wait for him. Knowing he knows you, he's going to come. The future is ahead, and he's the only one who has the future. And all he wants is that you love him and hold on to him and even step out maybe if you need to be with him. As we stand, I don't ask you to bow your head. As your piano plays. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we pray, come right now. God, I want to ask you just to move among us. Lord, I don't know these people. They seem like good people. Lord, you love them. And because of that, Lord, they're good. If there's one here who doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they will reach out to you for the first time in their life. Let go of religion and find you. God, if there's one here who, like me for years, just went to church and sang and yes, I was saved, but Lord, I never understood watching for you, joining. I pray, Lord, that you will quicken their heart, not shame them, but quicken their heart to come to you. Lord, there's probably here some who's very faithful. I pray that you will just encourage them to stay faithful, to look for what you have for them. The hope, Lord, that you're going to show up in the midst of this in your mighty way so that we can know you in the fullness and we can come to where you're working and be involved. I ask you, Lord, just to move among us right now. Lord, there's no shame to be honest and to walk towards you. The shame is doing nothing when you call. Help us, Lord, be obedient to run to you and your blessings.